You'll go to Ephesians chapter 6. Wanted to look at the topic today of having done all to stand. Ephesians chapter 6. We will start in verse 10. This finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, in those few verses there, the idea of standing is used multiple times, right? Stand therefore, having done all, stand, that we may be able to stand. Stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, there's a lot of things, and I love the way it says it in verse 13, having done all to stand. And you go through a lot of things in life. You know, you go through, as we all know, I mean, that's probably an understatement, but, you know, you go through sorrows, pains, joys, happiness. You know, you go through a lot of things in life. And, you know, what I wanted to share on today was, you know, whatever we do, right, whatever you go through and whatever highs and lows you experience or we experience in what we do, just stand, right? Stand on God's word, right? Yeah, it might be really, really hard sometimes. Just like the word exhorts us to do, having done all, whatever that all is, just stand on the word. There's no better place to be, right, than to stand on God's word, right? And here, you know, you guys know this section, where it talks, be strong in the Lord, then talks about putting on the whole armor of God, and verse 14, stand therefore, and then that down to verse 15, talking about the gospel, and 16 talking about believing, and 17 talking about the word of God, and all. It's all about standing on the word. Our whole armor is based on how we prepare ourselves to meet each day and everything that we do with the word of God. It's the best place to stand. You know, it's not some kind of five senses, you know, course you take about being confident in life because, you know, you can really trust your inner self and, you know, you have all that within your body to stand no matter what happens. It's got nothing to do with that, right? It's got everything to do with verse 10, strong in the Lord and the power of his might, right? The truth that we can stand is God's promise to us. We can stand on that word. We heard the manifestations, right? Everything in that word, right? All of it, right, is 100% true, right? That's God's declaration to us. Luke chapter 18. Verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Never faint. Just don't give up. Saying that there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Wonderful guy. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, he knew exactly where he stood. Right? Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Right. You know, great parable. It's really talking about you pray and you don't faint. Right? That's what you do. You stay with it, and you stay with it. You know, I was thinking about the definition of faithfulness. Faithfulness comes very much into standing, right? Standing. What does it mean to be faithful? What literally does it mean to be faithful? You know, you stick with it. Day in, day out. You know, you talk about a faithful employee. What is a faithful employee? One that shows up at work every day on time, works hard, and does it day after day after day. And that's what it's talking about. Faithfulness to stand is just day after day. You do what you know in the Word of God is right to do. Right? And here, you know, verse 8, it says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find?" Is he going to find those, and this word faith here is the right way of believing, is he going to find those people who believe rightly when he returns? And, you know, really, each one of us should be able to say, yeah, if I'm alive, darn right he will, right? That's how what our response should be, right? Because we make up in our minds, doesn't matter what happens. I don't care how I get hit, what happens, you know, where the attacks come from, and they come, right? Right? You're going to stand. You just say, I am going to stand. Look, I may bow a little bit sometimes. We get pressured, but we're never going to break, right? That wonderful song, right? You might bow a little bit, but you're not going to break. Or the guys in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what they say? Look, you know, I don't care. We might burn, but we're not going to bow, right? That's standing. You stand. You stand on the Word of God. You stand, and you stand, and you stand faithfully day after day. Romans chapter 5. Really, really, realistically, it's a lot easier to quit. Wouldn't you say? It is. It's a lot easier to say, oh, the heck with it. I don't care. You know, I can't put up with this anymore. Right. But God's word says, look, even God, you know, God doesn't never says in there, you know, and after you've accomplished this and accomplished this and accomplished this, and he just says, just having done all, stand, right? There's no measure in that time of success of how many thousands have you brought to the Lord, how many millions of miracles have you, wonderful. But he just says, look, having done all, just stand on my word, right? And the Lord says, when I come back, I want to find faith on the earth. Am I going to find those who look to me and believe rightly? Well, you know, why do we teach our children? Why do we teach one another? Why do we speak God's word? So that will be the case, right? Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we, what? We stand, right? We stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God, right? And not only, but we glory in tribulations. Why? Because we're sick in the head, right? Why would you be excited about tribulation, mental pressure, things that come at you, attacks? Why would you be able to glory in that? Why, knowing that tribulation, all these things works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. You see how that just things, as you stand, as you see God, you go to God, and God, look, I have a problem in this area, I need help. You see him faithfully keep his word to you, right? If we believe him. If we believe him, he faithfully keeps his word. The next time an attack comes, you go, oh, remember that time when we had that attack, when that happened to me, we went to God and we prayed, and you get experience, and they say, yeah, well, God's always going to come through. You build that hope, and that just builds and builds and builds as you go into God's word, right? And that takes effort. Last time we were together, we talked about, you know, what it takes to set spiritual goals in our lives, to improve in areas that we want to see improvement in life. It takes time to stand. It takes work and effort, right? But you see the rewards, you know, we heard everything in here is true. As you believe it, you see the result, and then you get the experience. And then as you see that experience time and time again, that leads to, you know, patience and experience and hope. All these work together one after another. And the next time, you're, well, yeah, I'm not going anywhere else because I know what happens last time, and I saw that happen. I'm going to go there, and you go there sooner this time maybe, right? Sometimes we wait a little bit long to get to what we know is the answer. But next time, as we build that experience and hope, you may want to go there sooner, right? Look at Acts chapter 5. I love this record. Acts chapter 5. Verse 17. And the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Great. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, you know, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. The same thing that had gotten them to be put in jail, the angel of the Lord came to them, you know, keep on doing that. Keep on speaking the word. And when they heard that, verse 21, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. They did exactly what they were told to do. But the high priest came and they that were with him. You know, again, you got to really put yourself, and I know we always talk about putting yourself in the record. It's no simple matter to be thrown in jail, okay? Let's be clear, right? I mean, it's not just, you know, you skip over two verses. Oh, yeah, thrown in jail. Wasn't that cool? And they got out and they were blessed. You got to think about what that means, right? You got thrown in jail, you can lose your job, you can lose your friends, right? You know, you can lose a lot of things. You can lose your integrity, your reputation, and all those things. And they were exhorted, despite that, go keep on doing what you were doing, what you got in trouble for. So, you know, you got to slow down sometimes and think about what's happening here. And taught, verse 21, but the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, surprise, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety and the keeper standing without before the doors, but when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the high chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. I would too. I was like, holy jump, you know. This has happened. Where could this possibly go? Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Right. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people. Not because they didn't want to beat them up. They themselves didn't want to get beaten up, right? Lest they should have been stoned, see that, by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, look, didn't we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, you know, this response, we ought to think about when we had that question of, what am I going to do? Am I going to do this or am I going to do that? Right? We should always remember this response. What does he say? We ought to obey God rather than men. Right? That should be the, you know, the motto of our lives. Right? When it comes to making a decision, we ought to obey. And when we say God rather than men, that means ourselves included, right? Because sometimes this man doesn't necessarily want to do what God wants him to do, right? Realistically, so our motto should be, well, okay, I know, Rod, you don't want to do that right now, but what does the Word of God say? And that's what standing and faithfulness is about, right? It's making that decision, and I had a discussion with someone recently about feelings, right? Feelings, right? How do feelings come into all this? Well, if I don't feel like doing something, generally I won't. But isn't that how, and I know people might say, well, you know, I can overcome. Generally, that's the way it works. If you don't feel like doing something, you generally won't do it. And people make all kinds of excuses, myself included. We make excuses about, oh, I don't feel like it, I'll get to it. Does that sound like faithfulness? Right? You know, if let's say I go to work, I go, well, tell my boss, you know what? I don't really feel like working today, but I wish you'd still pay me, right? No one would ever even think of saying that unless you work for the government. Sorry, if so, just kidding. You don't really work for the government directly. You know, but see, we wouldn't think of that in the context of a work situation, right? So the way feelings work, biblical feelings, you know how biblical feelings are supposed to work? We're supposed to do God's word, right? Regardless of how we feel. Right? Then, as we do what's right to do, the correct godly emotions follow afterwards. Right? You think Jesus Christ wanted or felt like dying in the Garden of Gethsemane? Right? Did he? No, he didn't. But what did he say? Okay, you know, not my will, but yours. That's faithfulness. Right? He was always faithful to him that called him. That's what it says. He was always faithful. And so feelings and emotions, you might say, well, I don't feel like doing that. You know, I've had this conversation with myself many, many times. So, and I do talk to myself a lot, right? Where you say, Raj, I don't care how you feel, right? And I have said that to myself many times. I don't care how you feel, right? This is what you should be doing right now. And that's a tough one, right? But that's what this is talking about. Right? This is Peter says we ought to obey God rather than men. Men, point to yourself as well, right? We ought to do what the Word of God says. That's faithfulness. That's standing, right? Whether you feel like it or you don't. And I guarantee you, and this is God's guarantee, if you do what the Word of God says, the correct emotions and feelings will follow afterwards. The problem is a lot of people make decisions based on their emotions, right? And that's backwards. Godly emotions are wonderful. We ought to be joyful, happy. There's godly sorrow even, right? These things happen, but these things follow after we do what's right to do. Verse 30, then the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So here he's teaching the word. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Now they wanted to kill them. Then this is what I wanted to get to. See, these guys are standing on God's word, despite the imprisonment, despite the fear of death, threat of death. They're standing on God's word. So if we should ever doubt what standing on his word means, look at this man's response here, right? Then stood there up one of the council, a Pharisee, named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, wonderful man, obviously good reputation, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. He brought them out in the front of everybody and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. Right. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. Okay. One example. Verse 37. After this rose up Judas of Galilee, another man, in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. Another example of uprising that didn't go so well. So he gives him two examples. Gamaliel sets the vote forward. I'm sure everybody's thinking, what's this guy talking about? Right. Verse 38. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or if this work be of men, it will come to naught. Right? So if you're ever worried about standing on God's word, remember this, right? If it's of men, it'll come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. Right? You can't overthrow it. There's a promise. Right? So if you're ever standing on the word and wondering, is it worthwhile? What does the Word of God say? You cannot overthrow it. You can't. No man, no human element, no human machinery can ever destroy the things of God. It can't be done. Right? Lest happily you be found even to fight against God. Right? So if you're ever worried about your stand and being faithful to stand on God's Word, remember what the Word of God says. Your stand is backed up by a God who nobody can fight against. And no matter how many things are possibly coming at you and the pressure is coming at you, stand. Keep standing. Keep being faithful to do his word, because no machinery of man or the world can ever fight against it. Verse 40, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And look what they did. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They kept standing, right? You know, this wonderful guy comes up. What a great blessing even to those men for what he must have said. He saw the truth behind what they were doing, right? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know, if it's something that we're involved in our lives, whether we're trying to apply the Word of God in areas standing or teaching our kids or whatever, taking a stand, no one can fight against it, right? But it says in it says in Proverbs about there are many devices in a man's heart, right? But the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand, right? Well, if it's something that is just a device of your own heart, it's not going to stand, right? Necessarily. But if it's from God, that's going to stand. Right? So if we're taking a stand on His word, that will stand. Whether you ever get rewarded for it, when we're talking about this last week with the kids, if you ever get rewarded for it in this life, right? No guarantee, is there? But there is the guarantee that your stand for Him will be rewarded. Right? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word, and be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Right? That takes effort. It takes time. Right? And I was talking to Jane the other day about, you know, I spoke to a believer once, and this believer said to me, I'm just tired of helping people and being kind and teaching. And, you know, this particular individual never saw them again after this, right? Because it's not easy, right? You think it's not, we all know that, right? This image of the Christian, you know, running through fields of sunflowers, you know, eating margarine, some ad probably, right? You know. Yeah, maybe not merge. Vish, butter. The butter.
Much better.
You know, if you that whole idea is such a false idea, right? I mean, here, this is, let's just keep reading the word. It's more accurate, right? Even preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Whether you feel like it or not, whether you think it's in season or out of season, doesn't matter. All the time. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. But the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Does that happen? That happened in part and parcel these days too. Maybe that's happening in some respect now. Other people who don't endure sound doctrine? I see a lot of, let's just put it this way, I see a lot of unsound doctrine out there. Right? But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Even when it comes to the Word of God, those who just want to take the Word of God and twist it and contort it to some their own way of thinking, you know. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, you know, Paul writing to Timothy, endure, there's that word, endure afflictions. It's going to come, right? Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. Right? You know, fighting isn't easy. Are there sometimes casualties in a fight? Yeah. Watch the Ottawa Senators tonight. There was a casualty in one of those fights. Let's just try and be sure that the casualty in that fight is not us. Right? And the way we can ensure that is by standing on His word, because no one can fight against it. No one can fight against your stand on God's word. Now, it may look like something is not going the way you want it to look in a particular situation you're involved with, right? But the truth, the underlying truth is nobody can fight against it. And someday, there's a day coming when He will judge the quick and the dead. That's going to happen. That's what the Word just promises right there, right? Proverbs also says that if we faint in the day of adversity, what does it say, kids? Thank you. One kid said it. Anyway. If we faint in the day of adversity, our strength is small. I always think that. I go, I don't want my strength to be small, right? And then it says a righteous man falls seven times and gets up again, right? You see, there's a lot of things in God's word about it. Does it say in that verse adversity isn't going to come? It says if thou faint in the day of adversity, there's going to be days of adversity, right? Here Paul, he says endure afflictions. In Romans we read rejoicing in tribulation, right? All these things that come at us. What's our response? We ought to obey God rather than men. We ought to obey God rather than men. What does the Word of God say? What is the Word of God telling me to do? Right? Where should I stand? So he says, for I am ready, and I have fought a good fight. Paul writes here, right? I have finished my course. I have kept the faith, the same word faith that we saw in Luke there, the right way of believing. He had endeavored to teach and live God's word rightly his whole life, so he could say at the end of his life, I have kept the right way of believing. Right? There's a lot of words in the word used about standing. You know, we see words like perseverance, enduring, long-suffering, not easily provoked, bearing all things. A lot of words that are in tune with taking a faithful stand that imply work. If you read those letters to the seven churches in Revelation, if you read that section in Revelation, watch the theme in those, the seven responses that God looked for from the churches has to do with what? He that shall endure until the end. Right? There's a common thread through all those responses about enduring temptation, suffering until the end. Right? There's a lot in there. Just again, it's a biblical theme that we see right throughout God's word. And in verse 8 he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You know, did Paul get his reward in his life? Really? His reward was, it says in here, all they in Asia have turned away from me. His reward was all those that once stood with him left. Right? That was his earthly reward. If you're looking for earthly success, earthly rewards, and earthly, you know, recognition, this is the wrong place to look. Henceforth, verse 8, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, and thank God he's righteous, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. You see, there's a day coming, and we know it's coming. So what's our response? Having done all, we stand. We ought to obey God rather than men. And day after day after day, whether we feel like it, whether we don't feel like it, we just stand on his word. Hebrews. We'll close in Hebrews chapter 11. Have to get to Hebrews. We're talking about standing, right? You can't. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through believing or faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 6, but without believing or faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear or reverence for God, prepared an ark, the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Do you think it might have taken a little bit of effort for Noah to stand for over 100 years, right, building an ark? Was there maybe one day he felt like saying, oh man, I don't even know if the rain's going to come. Why am I wasting my time doing this? What's the point? Not to mention his wonderful neighbors, if he had any. I don't know if he had any. Right? I'm sure people saw this thing being built and said, the odd thing. Right? You know, the odd, not so nice comment. Right? So, you know, faithfulness, over 100 years, day in, day out, doing what the word of God said for him to do. That's faith. That's standing. You know, like here we are. I mean, we haven't been asked to build an ark to save humanity, have we? Right. We haven't been asked to die on a cross or a tree like the Lord was asked to die. Right. Down in verse 17. By believing or faith, Abraham, when he was offered up Isaac. Wow. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. You know, Abraham, do you think that was difficult? Do you think that took a little bit of, maybe I should obey man rather than God here? Right? Took a little bit of thought, right? But he stood on God's word. He said, okay, I'm going to do what the word of God tells me. I'm going to do exactly what he asked me to do. Verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Joseph, you know, young man, thrown in a pit by his own flesh and blood. Right? What did he do? You think if he probably had pretty good cause to be bitter, right? God, where are you? What is this? My own brothers threw me into a pit and left me for dead, right? And I end up being a slave in this guy's house, right? What did he do? He honored God. He honored God. He honored God constantly, day in, day out, to the point that God is the one who exalted him and made him second in command in Egypt, right? God exalted him. He just stood. He just stood. He just stood day in and day out, faithfully, you know, speaking what he knew to be the truth. I mean, he was by himself, but he was he? Never by yourself, right? If you're standing on what the Word of God says, then nothing can fight against it. And that's what Joseph, and here he's mentioned. And all it mentions here about Joseph, by the way, is he told them that when they left, take his bones. Doesn't even mention anything about Potiphar, doesn't mention anything about all those things he did, right? Well, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By believing or faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Why? And he had access to everything, didn't he? He had access to everything. And he chose to suffer with the people of God, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By believing, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. There's that word again. See all these words we keep seeing, as seeing him who is invisible. Through believing, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should be touched them. By believing, verse 29, they passed the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. Right? You know, amazing. There's so many examples of believers. And was that stuff easy? Did Moses have an easy life? Oh my goodness. I get tired just reading about what he went through, what he did. Day in, day out, just stood, even to the point of saying things like, well, Father, you know, didn't call him Father at the time, but God, just, you can blot me out first before you blot them out, right? Just stood day after day after day. Right? That's what faithfulness is, to stand, having done all, to stand. In verse 32, you know, and what more shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, and you guys know all these records of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel and the prophets, who through believing subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. You know, anybody who thinks that living for God is smooth sailing all the time hasn't read this section, right? It's not. Out of weakness we're made strong. If you want smooth sailing, stop standing on his word. Right? Even then, there's no guarantees there. Wax valiant in fight. Turn to flight the armies of the aliens. 35. Women received their dead raised to life, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through believing, received not the promise, because they were looking ahead to the coming of Jesus Christ and all that he would accomplish. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, because of all this, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, the wonderful examples of all these believers who stood, believed God, that's the witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You see all the same terms we see over and over again, fight, race, patience, enduring, all those words used in the context of standing for him. Right? Looking on to what? Who? Verse 2, Jesus, the author or the beginner and the starter and completer of our believing, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And you guys who looked at the work that was done on believing recognize that he started believing God, and he completed the work of believing. Faithfully, day in and day out, he believed his Father. And that's the example for us. Just like we just day in, we deal, okay, Father, you know, I'm not going to, I may not be very successful in what I do. I may not be, you know, the most eloquent at what I do or what we say to him, or I may not be the most capable, but I'm going to do my best to do what your word says for me to do. That's it. Like, he doesn't say, he just says, look, just stand. Just stand. Verse 3, for consider him, Jesus Christ, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. See, our strength, our example in this administration specifically is the stand of Jesus Christ. He's our example. Right? And here God says, look, if you ever attempted to faint in your mind, that's where it happens first, right? You faint first in your mind, and then the rest of your life follows along, right? Because we make the decision up here to say, well, today I'm going to obey the will of man, not the will of God. That's what we make it. We make the decision right here in our minds. And so God says, look, if you ever are tempted there, just consider my son. He started believing me, and he finished his life by believing me. And if you ever get tired of that, just consider him. And that will give you, you know, encouragement to stand. And Ephesians 6 puts it as, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You see, just the same truth, just said in a different way. Right? So, you know, whatever we get involved in, whatever trouble hits us, whatever attacks or, you know, opportunities or challenges of life come at us in our day-by-day walk, and whatever we happen to be involved in, let's just remember, standing on his word is standing on something that nobody can fight against. No one can speak against it. It's the best place to be, right? And whether we feel like it or not, we ought to endeavor. Let's endeavor. Let's agree there. We're going to do our utmost to just having done all, whatever that all is, just day after day to stand faithfully day by day by day until the wonderful return of Jesus Christ, right? So, having done all, let's stand.
Everybody.